Can we all read Psalm 1 together, please? It's not a very long psalm, but it's quite a good psalm. It's a sort of an introduction to all of the psalms, as it were, seeing it's Psalm 1. And it says a lot, which I'm going to expound upon a bit later on. So can we say it all together? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It's a good psalm. Yeah. Get my words out. It is an introduction to the whole of the Psalms. It's unique and on its own. The rest of the Psalms sort of mentioned in Psalm 1. The other Psalms can be prayers, it can be hymns, and they're different things. But Psalm 1 sort of introduces us, as it were, to the Book of Psalms. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But our reading is now from Carol. We're going to do our reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, which is sort of like mentioned in Psalm 1, the New Testament bit of it, as it were. Thank you, Carol.
And it's titled, Rules for the Holy Living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Amen.
That's the Colossians is mentioning sort of Psalm 1 that was read earlier of the two different types of people. It says it well in Colossians there. The two types of people, the blessed ones, the, if you like, the righteous ones, and the unrighteous ones, the people that are not blessed, the ungodly, the two types of people that there is. So it becomes a basic question in life. How can I be blessed today in the world? How can it be true that I can be blessed? Does God really want me happy and to be blessed? Or you could read it, happy and blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly in Psalm 1. But yes, I mean, what father doesn't want his children to be blessed, to be happy? He tries to, well, our three anyway, we try to make them pleased with what we do. As same with the grandchildren, Noah and William are out there. We try and make them happy. And so God is trying to make us happy in our life. So blessed, happy is children are happy in happiness is a testimony. It's so how do you get happy or how do you get blessed? Well, some people go to the bottle or, you know, for the glass of whiskey or vodka or whatever it is, or, you know, go to drugs and drink to make them happy. Sally and John, they're not here, but they would be able to tell you all about that. The people they help that have got a drug problem or a drink problem. But that's only temporary. And then afterwards you get a headache and you get a lot more troubles and things like that. But happiness and comes from knowing God. This is happiness. God's happiness lasts. It's long-lasting. It's not a temporary thing. The adverts that we get through different ways, through our phones and laptops and TV and things like that, all speak of if you'll get happy if you do this and this and this, or if you buy this and this and this, you'll get happy. But of course, it's only temporary. But God's happiness lasts forever. The word in Psalm 1, in the original Hebrew, and I know there's two people around here, Michael's one of them who knows the Hebrew, probably others as well knows the Hebrew. I know my wife was, don't tell her I told you, but she spent 4 years at London Bible College, and so she studied Hebrew as well. So the word blessed is a longer word than it is in Hebrew than it is in English, if that makes sense. It's blessedness, like a continual thing, a multiplying thing. Blessed and happiness from Psalm 1 is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the way of sinners. So how can I be truly happy all the time? I think the chorus, I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm trusting in him. He took all my sorrows, he took all my sin, he took all my sickness. Invite him today, or how I love Jesus. What more can I say? Psalm 1 is sometimes called the wisdom psalm. Results from from our choices. We have to decide what we're going to be or what we're going to do. Are we going to decide to be righteous or to be right with God? We don't always make it. We sometimes sometimes mess up, and so we have to come to God. Like people all the way through the Bible that we read, of people that Moses got it wrong some of the time, and David the king and others, many others got it wrong. The disciples got it wrong some of the time. I get it wrong some of the time, but we have to come to God and say, look, just Jesus, I'm sorry. That's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins. We do sin. We do mess up at times. But he forgives our sins and makes us right with God again. So happiness is the greatest gift that we can have. Thank you. Yes, Ken Dodd, who sang, "Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more of my care of happiness." You see, you remember it. Good. Well, that's it. Sorry?
I must be old, apparently.
Ah, there we go. There we go. Anyway, it's happy. It's good. It's good. It's good to be happy. Of course, it doesn't mean we go around with a big cheesy grin all the way. I mean, we have things happening to us. There's sad things happen. There's things happen that beyond our control that we can't sort of sort out. But happiness is from God. It deep inside. A deep knowledge and the peace of God, the peace of God which passes all understanding, so fill our hearts, as it read in the Colossians. Lord Jesus, we thank you. The Psalm 1 is sort of, I thought thinking about it, was a bit like a sat-nav or a map. That's an atlas of Britain, Scotland. Now, we've got the British bit. That's our bit. You know that, mate, yeah. All the roads, the motorways, and it's a more detailed map that sort of later on. Well, that's what the Bible is a sort of an atlas to where we're going. If we want to go to London, we need to get on the M5 and then onto the M5, I think. Well, that's one of the ways. Or we can go the A30. I mean, the A30 runs through Chard here. If you keep on the A30, you'll get to London. So but with sat navs and everything like that, we sort of don't tend to read these maps anymore. But we do need to read the Bible. It's the map for life, of how to get to, you know, we want to get to heaven. We want to please God. We're sorry for the things we do wrong. It's Jesus in our life to find out more about Jesus and more about God and more about how to live, it's all in the book, the Bible. What more can I say about the Bible? Well, as you probably noticed, at the front, I've got a tablecloth. It says, "Good news." It's in 1974. God, it's going back. You can't remember back as far as that, can you? 1974. In 1974, you see, I'm older than you think. 1974, I joined what was then the Gideons, but it's now changed its name to Good News for Everyone. But that was the Gideons. I joined up in Chippenham, I remember, because I remember we lived in Wiltshire then, in a little village called Foxham. In our front garden, about, I don't know, 6 foot from the kitchen window, was a Methodist chapel. So we thought, we better. And our land, our garden went round it, but we're both sides of it. And there's a chapel in the middle, in our kitchen. So we sort of joined the Methodist church and spent some happy times there. And there was a preacher one day, he was a farmer. He's a farmer, Alan, right? Another farmer. And I remember him talking about the as it was then, the Gideons. And so I signed on the dotted line and joined up. And so what we do with the Good News for Everyone is when we speak to somebody about Jesus, we can give them a New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And in the front of it, there's all the places finding help, where you can find help of all the different, under many different headings. And in the back is a way of salvation from, you know, God's love through to, and they can make a declaration, I've realized I've sinned, et cetera, and sign it, and keep it, of course. And so we give these out. We buy them ourselves, of course. and give them out to folks. So that's one thing we do. We also, the other day, Jim, Sylvia, and myself, we went round to different hotels and guest houses and B&Bs in the Crewkerne area, wasn't it? You've been to other areas as well. And we give the hotel staff or guest room staff a copy of this that can put in their rooms for the people that come to their accommodation. Some people say no, we don't want them, but some people say yes, that's all right, we'll have them, and so they have them in there. But some of them don't want them in the rooms, so what we do, we put about 4 copies in reception and then put a card in every room saying that there is a Good News Bible in the reception, and if they want to read a Good News Bible, they can, if they get it from reception. So that's the sort of things we do. Also, there are different languages. This is the Gospel of John in English and in, I don't know, Chinese. I don't know which, if it is Mandarin or something else, because I can't speak it anyway. By the old railway station in Chard, there's a fish and chip shop, isn't there? Thank you, yeah. Well, the owners there, they're Chinese. So I've given them one of these so they can read it in their own language. Hopefully they can read it in that language. But they'll also read the translation, as it were, in English on the other side to help them with their English. And we do Romanian, Portuguese, Spanish, all different ones. So that's the sort of thing we do. So we've read Colossians 3, 1-17, the first bit. Yeah, and I've talked about Bibles and the things we do with those. And also now we can have a reading from Psalm 119, verses 1 to 18. Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Bill?
Yes?
Farmer Alan said to me today, when you do your reading, are you going to tell a story?
Come on.
Well, I have got a story to tell because it really relates to Gideon Bibles.
Excellent.
So it's very apt, Alan.
Good.
Anyway, yeah. Well, I'd been... my family weren't Christians, but they were of that generation where they, you know, sort of respected the church, but there wasn't a Bible in our house. And I became a Christian, really through school, Christian Union. And I was given the little Gideon Bible. Mm. It was a King James version, first one in our house, you know. And one day, I woke up, it was a lovely day like today, and I had the most severe backache. It was just awful. I just can't explain. It was like 10. If you go 1 to 10 with pain, this was 10. And my mother came up and she just didn't know what to do. And she sent my brother over. She said, go and get Mrs. Hockley. She could see I was in pain. But right by my bedside, I got my little Gideon Bible, New Testament. And I opened it up and I read the words because I said, Jesus, please heal me. Please heal me. And I opened it up and I read the words. Because you haven't seen me, he was talking to Thomas, you don't believe. And I thought, yes, I do, Lord Jesus. And the pain went.
Hallelujah.
Like that.
Wonderful.
Absolutely went. And Mrs. Hockley came over, and she was a Christian. And I ran downstairs, and I was so happy to get rid of the pain. So, right, Alan, that's my story. Good. Anyway, Psalm 119. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart. As I learn with your righteous laws, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your words in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in the following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Amen.
Thank you, John. Yes. I do like Psalm 119, if you've ever read it. It is a bit long. Going back to the little Methodist chapel that we had in our front garden, that was only about 6 foot away, or even could have been 5 foot away from our kitchen window, when we bought the place, there was one lady who was sort of in charge of the Methodist chapel, Mrs. Pegler, and she was the only member. And they had a very small, two or three people came along, and they had local preachers coming in. And we went along, increased, doubled the size of the congregation. How about that? But we started a Sunday school in the village. Now, it was only a small village, but we had most of the children from the village in our Sunday school. They came along. I remember at once we joined a sort of a bigger organization that did Sunday schools that was sort of, I don't know, where anyway, the bigger organization, and they gave a test to these Sunday schools, and so that the children had to do this test, and one of them was Psalm 119, not the whole of the psalm, but a few verses in the psalm. And so we taught the children some of the verses that we've just read out here. And I remember one of them, because we, rather than just trying to memorize a verse, we put them to music. And so I can't remember which verse it was, about verse 3 or 4. It went like this: if I pay attention to all your commands, then I will not be put to shame. As I learn your righteous judgments, I will praise you with a pure heart. I will obey your laws. Never abandon me. Oi. They liked it. And they remembered it. And they did this, this competition thing with all these different Sunday schools. And we came out very well near the top. Because all our children remembered it through singing these choruses, well, singing these verses that I'd put to music. And not very good, but they remembered it. So it's good to memorize scriptures as well as reading it. It's good to have it. It's good to read the Bible every day. And there is that chorus, isn't there? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Oh, you know it. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. And so on and so forth. So that's a good one. And it's very ready. Thank you. I'll get it out in a minute. Very relevant to our Christian lives. To be reading the Bible every day and to be praying every day. It's important. And to know the Bible. And we do a thing here. This is going back to the good news. I'm advertising again. It's the Bible Helps. And it gives all the different verses and the different headings of where to find things in the Bible. Because the Bible as a whole, if you start, you know, it's a bit much to start reading it from Genesis and trying to get through to Revelations. going through Ezekiel and all the different minor prophets and Leviticus and things like that. But it's helpful to have a Bible help to help you reading the Bible. Right, what else was I going to say? So Psalm 1 is a fundamental teaching of life from the Old Testament. The New Testament's teaching on death and life, where you choose where you want to go, that they will determine your life. Death and life are clearly stated in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, which says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children may live. That's Deuteronomy 30, 19. And in the New Testament, the same sort of thing is repeated again. The right way and the wrong way. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, the wide gate, and the broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, I'll start again. I've messed it up. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But verse 14, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and the only few find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Psalm 1 that we read earlier offers us a choice. We know of happiness only comes from choosing to walk with God, what God said we should do. And this is how we want to live our lives. Being happy, Ken Dodd again. And it says in another psalm, I think, open wide your mouth, says God, and I will fill it with the finest of the wheat, with honey from the rock I will satisfy you. Sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise to him. So what are we going to do? Which way are we going to choose to be then? Who are we going to hang out with? It says in the first verse, didn't it? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or in the thing it says, I thought of that and thinking of Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp and all those other things you can get and the people we talk to every day. Who are we in contact with and who are we listening to? Are we listening to God, what God says? Do we have God's approval of what's going on? It is your life. There used to be a program called This Is Your Life. So is it your life? And God has got a handle on your life, as it were. That first, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, and chooses the right path, God's map, the way. This also includes avoiding, refusing advice from the godless people. Their values are much lower, and they don't bring happiness in the end. Psalm 1, verse 1, on the second half of the verse, is about sitting, says now, sitting first, and then standing, and then there is a thing about sit, walk, stand, isn't there, about it. Nor standing in the way of sinners. It's a one, which one are we listening? Who are we listening to? I understand that when you're talking to somebody, you can say you understand, but you don't have to agree with everything that they say. Because it's the cross of Jesus we want to talk about. So don't go hanging out with people that say the wrong things with their lifestyles. Don't go with critical people, disrespectful people, or sit or walk or stand. It's a slippery slope. Evil is not passive. It has its consequences. The verse 2 states, a strong appetite for God's word. Steak and chips is nice, but it's having an appetite for reading God's word. You know, really, once you get into reading the Bible, you want to read it a bit more. It gets addictive. Hopefully, it gets addictive. But it's a good thing to get addictive to reading God's word. You probably have a favorite scripture, a favorite translation. There's the Good News Translation, there's NIV, which we had this morning. Some people like the Authorized, that's fine. I mean, I grew up with the Authorized because that was the only one that thing was around then, a long time ago. Because I'm 80 this year, yeah, I'm really old, you know. Yeah, a bit dreadful, I'm really old. So, you know, you read the translation you like, what you're happy with, but do read it. Do find out what God says about you and about other people, about the world. We need to know. Psalm 119, again, verses 103, it's all about the appetite. Sweeter than honey, it says. And another Psalm 19, verse 10, it says, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You know, gold is, you know, a gold bar would be worth quite a bit. So, but it's worth more than that. Yeah, so we met to meditate. Oh, we're running out of time. Meditate on the word. We've got to, and it's good to, like I've said earlier, to memorize scriptures. I remember Psalm 119 again. From whence shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. That's verse 9, I think. And verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I remembered that as one of my first things I remembered after I was saved, which is 1965. There again, it's a long time ago. That was in the Yemen. I was actually in the. Some people would say it's a God-forsaken place. If you've ever been there, you would know what I mean. Anyway, but that's where, yes, I found Jesus. Well, Jesus found me, and that I came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior in my life. So, we can now have a time of prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your love towards us. Lord Jesus, there's lots going on in the world today, which is bad. We all know that through the news and through different things and things on the internet. Lord Jesus, but Lord Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord of all. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, just purify our hearts. Lord, look at our hearts, and we're sorry for any sins that we do, any thoughts that we've thought that weren't of you. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come to the foot of your cross, Lord Jesus, where you died for our sins, where you bled and died. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins and making us righteous in God's sight and giving us a place in heaven and interceding for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, you died and you rose again from the dead, victorious, and giving us life. And you're alive today, as the verse above at the front there says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.